We started talking about Nehemiah last week. Oh, I guess I need to turn my microphone on. We started talking about Nehemiah last week, and we're going to be looking through the book of Nehemiah to see. The title of this sermon is When Opportunity Knocks. When Opportunity Knocks. And as I was doing my research for the sermon this week, I ran into a sermon by a fellow named Paul Decker. Has anybody here ever found, there's several sermons online on YouTube and things by Paul Decker. Have anybody ever seen any of those? He really does a good job. He's really a very prophetic voice. And so I've got to admit, a lot of this sermon, I love the sermon outline that he put together. So I just want to thank Paul Decker for getting my mind going in this direction as I was looking through Nehemiah chapter 2. So let's talk a little bit about, you know, some of the problems we have. Rufus and Clarence hated each other. They did not like each other. The only thing that kept them from killing each other was the river between them. For over 20 years, every morning, Rufus and Clarence would go down to their respective sides of the river and yell at each other. Rufus, Clarence would shout, "You better thank your lucky stars I can't swim or I'd swim over there and whip you." Clarence, Rufus would holler back, "You better thank your lucky stars that I can't swim or I'd swim over this river and I'd whoop you." Well, this kept on for 20 years. One day, the Army Corps of Engineers stopped by and they built a bridge. So Rufus' wife said to him, "Honey, I can't take it anymore. Every day for over 20 years you've been threatening to whoop Clarence. Well, there's that bridge right there. Have at it." Rufus thought about it and took off for the bridge. He got about halfway across, looked up, and then came running back, screaming at his wife to lock the doors and hide. "What in tarnation's the matter?" She said. "Well," whispered the terror-stricken Rufus, "I walked halfway across that bridge, and I saw a sign that said, Clarence, 13 feet 6 inches. He ain't never looked that big when I was on my side of the river." Sometimes opportunity knocks and on the other side of the river. It doesn't look quite so handy, does it? Sometimes it can be a little bit scary when opportunity knocks. And the fact of the matter is that opportunity knocks for all of us in all kinds of different ways. It might, you know, knock for us in a job and all kinds of things. And just in case you're wondering, that the story does have a purpose. One is that when opportunity knocks, when the bridge is built, when you're ready to go over it, it's a little scary. Because it's one thing to say, "I want a better job," or "I want more opportunity," or "we want more people in the church," or whatever it happens to be. It's an entirely different thing to actually take the steps across the bridge, because that means things are going to change. And that can be a little scary. So what do we do when opportunity knocks? Sometimes it's a good thing to read the signs. Have you ever hesitated at an opportunity? Something ever give you reason to pause because maybe what you thought was going to work was a whole lot bigger than you thought? That's what happened to Nehemiah. Nehemiah was, he heard about this problem, all that kind of stuff, and then all of a sudden an opportunity came his way. We saw Nehemiah last week. Nehemiah had become aware of a problem. His brother Hanani had come back from Jerusalem. He'd asked him what was going on. He heard about the despair in Jerusalem, about the burned gates, about the broken down wall. He saw a real need. But the solution wasn't as clear. I mean, obviously the gates need to be rebuilt. Obviously the walls needs to be rebuilt. Obviously the people need some hope. But how does that happen? Just to say that's what needs to happen, there's a lot of things that have to happen along the way. So Nehemiah turned to God for help. Nehemiah sees the need. He feels the need. It's on his heart. He shares that need with God. He prays for help. He doesn't know what to do. Can Nehemiah meet the need? So let's look at what happens when opportunity knocks. And I want to start with just reminding you about last week. You got to begin with preparation. See, that's Nehemiah chapter 1. Nehemiah finds out the need and then he begins preparing. And preparation begins with the heart. It begins with the heart. So, college professor was known for his terrible midterm exams. And one day he gave this midterm exam and he piled on the work to people. As he passed out the exam, there were sighs and there were groans and there were all kinds of noises throughout the classroom as people looked at the exam and realized how just horrific it was. The students worried and fretted. Later in the week, the professor tossed the graded papers on her desk and announced, "Class, after I left here last week, the Lord spoke to me." The Lord said, "Thanks, Professor. I haven't heard from that many people in years." Opportunities are tests. Opportunities are tests. And if there are opportunities from God, and if there is a vision from God involved in that opportunity, it's going to be more than you can handle. And the only way that you can handle it is on your knees through prayer and getting close to God. And now Nehemiah did that. Nehemiah did prepare by drawing close to God. Our problems are bigger than we are, and that's when it's time to pray. First of all, pray passionately and consistently. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, pray continually. James 5:16 says, the effectual, this is King James Version, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. In other words, fervent prayer. The Holman Christian takes that same version and says, the urgent request of a righteous person is powerful in its effect.